Hello and welcome to the Property Roundup here on iProperty Radio with myself, Carol Tallant. The show where we chat to industry experts to get a view on activity on the ground and to learn about new trends emerging. This show is sponsored by daft.ie, Ireland's most visited property website. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Johanna Murphy, estate agent with Johanna Murphy and Sons in County Cork. Johanna, you're very welcome. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Good morning, Carol. Thank you so much for the invite. Delighted to be here.
I am really excited to talk to you today because today is just a precursor to a conversation that you and I are going to be having on the main stage at the National Construction Summit in Blanchardstown this Thursday. So I'm so excited that I get the opportunity to speak to you in advance of that, but also that we'll really get to tease out some of the bigger issues. I'm a huge advocate of regional development and understanding what's going on across the regions. And so I'm really excited to learn a little bit more about some of the parts of County Cork that I mightn't be so familiar with. So let's talk about maybe outlining the geography where you're working at the moment.
Okay, so Carol, I've been involved in the property industry for the bones of 30 years. My office is in Cove, but I work all over County Cork. In actual fact, you could find me, I sold a house in Longford last year, which we'll discuss in a while, the power of social media. But yeah, so it's County Cork. I'm from the city myself, married a Cove man, hence I'm living in Cove. And
very
I love
good.
What you have to say.
Very good. So let's start with the power of social media, because yes, we're going to be getting, I want to talk about the local marketplace, but actually, I've known you and your business for a long time, such is the nature of this industry. But social media has really changed how involved we can get in following the properties that have been listed and things like that. So let's talk about that as to maybe around your business, how, because you obviously are operating quite independently, how important is digital for you?
Okay, so I suppose if we go back to COVID, really, that's kind of where it started for me, because obviously we couldn't do viewings. And with the nature of where I live, we have a lot of international buyers do come to Cove. So I said, you know, how am I going to show these houses to these people abroad? Very amateur, not comfortable in front of the camera, didn't like any of that. So how it started was me just doing a video in the car, or just showing a house. Or what I did, which I thought was really, really good, is that I did a tour of Cove. So I did a tour of Cove because if you say to any auctioneer, yes, you can sell a house, but you got to sell the location where the house is. And that's what I really learned, right? So I embraced social media. I saw the reaction I was getting. People were loving it. People love going into people's houses, nosy to have a look, right? The virtual tours, the videos, they wanted to see, you know, how was I feeling about the property? Was I excited about it? Did I like it? And then it kind of just grew from there. And then it became so big that I had to employ a marketing consultant to help me, because I'm on every social media platform. So, and I keep, and the trick is, it has to be constant in the sense you've got to do this a couple of times a week. You've got to be, your content has got to be interesting. It's got to be snappy. It's got to be short. It's got to be colorful. It's got to be engaging. It's got to have a variety, so that, you know, people can see me at an event. It could be a women's networking event. It could be a business event. I could be in my wellies and wax jacket going into a dive of a house that needs so much work. I have great insight too, as if I see a ruin of a house as to what it could be. And I love old houses anyway. I also love to help the first time buyer, right? Mm-hmm. That's kind of for me, I suppose, because I've got three boys now and one day they're going to hopefully buy a house, that I can see that no matter, you can be shouting from the rooftops what they need to do, but you know what? They still don't know. And when they can gravitate and feel that you're going to mind them, they're going to love that. But also, the person that bought the house 40 years ago, that is now in their late 60s, early 70s, looking to downsize, they don't know how to buy a house now. They don't know how to bid on a house. You're trying to help them. You're trying to steer them the way. So I always say to someone, the minute they pick up the phone to me, they're with me. I'm with them on that journey to the day they hand their keys over or they get their keys. And that really is important.
I think that's so powerful. And the fact that you're working in a set area from Cove, but servicing all of County Cork over the bones of 30 years, have you found that you are now selling homes for people that maybe you might have helped them to purchase.
100%. I've seen a cycle actually of 3 times,
Okay.
and I now have people's kids coming to me because they bought a house off me, right? And but you know what? I think, life as an auctioneer, you evolve over time. Remember, I started when I was only, I'm 53 now, nearly, right? I started when I was 23. I was probably one of the youngest female auctioneers around.
Yeah.
And I'm very different now to what I was then, right? I've learned so much, and it has evolved, and auctioneering has evolved, and it is a very tight ship now. You have to run a very, very tight business, from a CPD, making sure that you've all your paperwork organized, and even having the regulatory authority body there, I think is a good thing. Because, selling a house is it's probably one of the biggest things you'll ever do. And you're being entrusted to do that. So that's a big deal.
It's really interesting when you talk about your journey and maybe the age you were when you start. And the reason I'm interested, I'm kind of laughing to myself because only in the last couple of weeks I interviewed a man, and he was saying, and I was one of the youngest estate agents setting up. And I said, really? He said, yeah, I was only 35. And I was saying, over the last 20 years, all of my network of female estate agents who own their own practice all started in their 20s, some under 25, maybe some just over 25, but around that age. And it was really interesting to hear this man think that he was so
Yeah.
that he was so young starting at 35. And it made me realize actually there's a huge disconnect, maybe from the next generation of agency owners understanding how the players who are there now got started.
And you
So
know
there's
what? It's
definitely a disconnect.
and you know what? It's not easy. I mean, when I say journey, it has been a journey with a lot of ups and downs, right? And a lot of frustrating. And sometimes you love auctioneering and sometimes you don't, and you're saying, oh, I just want to get out of this. But it always comes back to the client. I've met amazing people. I really have. And when I don't care if it's a property for 150 grand or if it's a house for 5 million, I still have that sense of, you know what? They've just got their house. They've just got their home. And also people who want to invest, who want to realize a dream, buy a piece of land, get it zoned, get planning, build their houses. Brilliant. And actually, something funny just came to me there when you were just speaking about the guy who thought he was the youngest guy, right? My mum, she was the first woman auctioneer in Ireland to hold her own license and run her own business, right? And
Amazing.
Tommy Barker, who is the property editor for The Examiner forever, right? It was so funny. He said, you know what, Joanna? I remember your mother used to get you up into the office on a Saturday. And I used to take, remember, you used to take the photographs and they'd get the pic. And then we'd stick the photograph onto a brochure, right? Piece of paper where my mother was very theatrical with her writing and it was always a dramatic story. And Tommy said, Joanna, just used to be thrown in the door and with the photograph, with the writing. And then we just have to make it all out and put it on the examiner. And it was brilliant. And that's how things have changed, So.
Things change, but some things stay the same. I'm really glad that you gave Tommy Barker, property editor in The Examiner, a shout out there, because only in very recent months, Tommy has been a huge advocate for us over the past number of decades, and only the last few months he got to meet my daughter, who's part of the
Oh,
business and
great.
producer of the show here. So he is now kind of helping the
Good,
next generation as it
good,
comes. So
good.
he has strong form in helping multi-generational
Oh, he's
female-led businesses.
amazing, and
So
he's so
good man.
supportive. So supportive. Big time.
But look, I think it's really interesting when you talk about the home buyers and you see that cycle. But where are we right now? Because look, with all of the different reports coming out, whether it's on the property prices, rental prices, or indeed construction or construction outputs. It's not always easy to understand. And I think sometimes the reporting definitely suffers from a bit of a Dublin outside of Dublin narrative. And that's not very helpful in the regions. So talk to me, please, about what's happening in the County Cork marketplace in terms of supply and demand. Where are we in terms of supply? Is County Cork suffering from the same experience that we're seeing right across the country in terms of very slow turnover of secondhand properties? And so what's the marketplace like?
Okay, so Well, first of all, supply for me, the supply is always trickling in, right? But it, obviously, the problem with the supply is that when you get a house for sale, it is gone in a week or two. So therefore, your supply is diminishing all the time, yet your demand is rising all the time, right? So I predominantly deal in secondhand houses, and secondhand houses now, I can see, this is what I can see. I can see that people are very aware that if there's a house that needs work, for them to be able to do up that house, it's going to cost them a lot of money to do up that house because tradespeople are expensive, construction is expensive, right? So, but still, they're going to pay a bit more than what you're going to ask for it. And then you have the energy rate now, and we'll come into this in a while. Energy rating is really important. So if a house has an energy rating of A or B, people love that because then their domestic bills for electricity and heat and electricity are going down, right? Whereas if they have an older house, they're not. They have to retrofit them and they have to make them more sustainable, which is very expensive, which again, we can talk about in time, right? So I suppose I'm seeing the business is so busy for me in the last 3 years. It's gone up and up and up. My turnover has gone up and up and up. And it's because the amount of people now who want to buy a house has increased. What I do find, and I mean, I see this and it's been well said on the paper, is that unfortunately, the state are buying up a lot of land, a lot of and building it out for social housing, and institutions are buying up that land and building out for social housing, which is leaving very little then for the nurse working down the road, the junior doctor, the gardaí, someone working in the shop. I think there was a figure of something like 94% of houses last year or this year, what last year, this year, were for apartments for social housing and were bought up by the state or institutions, which left then 6% for that other time for the other buyer.
But there's a larger piece to that conversation. Like we talk about supply and demand, and I think a home builder local to you, Michael O'Flynn, he's generally very good at kind of drawing the distinction between demand and qualified demand. So he would make the point, everybody wants to buy a home. Not everyone can afford to buy a home in their area or can access a mortgage that would enable them to buy a home in the area that they want or the type of home in the area that they want. So actually, when we look at the County Cork marketplace that you're looking at there, and we break down demand versus qualified demand, the supply of new of homes, the type of stock coming in is one thing, but the reality is, if there was qualified demand, it would make construction projects more viable. So where is the disconnect? Is there a disconnect between the salaries people are making, the expectations that they have, the availability of zoned land to be able to deliver homes, or is it simply a case there aren't enough home builders looking to deliver, in across the county?
Well, I think there's an array of different reasons. First, obviously, people's salary, the cost of houses now, brand new houses, crazy money. And then you have interest rates. So recently I was being interviewed about this particular question, right? And what I say to anybody who wants to buy a house, you must think outside the box. You're not always going to be able to buy a new house, right? So therefore, you must buy a secondhand house. And let's say I had a house there only recently, 190,000, needs a lot of work, sold the house for 240,000 to a young couple who are going to avail of the vacant home grant. He's a bit of a handyman himself that he can go in and do a bit of the work himself. And I said, guys, I remember when I moved into my first house, I had a kettle. You can't have, I think a lot of people want the Instagram house now, straight away. This is called the property ladder. So you buy your first house is not your forever home. Buy it, do it up, sell it in a couple of years' time, acquire a bit of equity, and buy another house for maybe your family. You're going to have that house, and then down the road, you're going to sell that to downsize to when you don't need such a big house. And also, it's really important, Carol, that whoever buys a house, and I say this, I said, once you are on a public transport system, 20 to 30 minutes from the city or from your job, that is crucial. So location is everything.
And actually, that doesn't. When we look at public transport, that doesn't take in all of County Cork at all, as I'm very well aware. But I suppose one of the things I'm a little nervous about is this concept of the property ladder and the starter home, because I think actually the last decade and a half have taught us that actually you can get caught in your starter home, and it can really be detrimental to your life. And I know, for people who bought just before the crash, thinking they were going into a starter home, particularly if these were small apartments, you know, they found themselves in a really unfair position where they've had to rent out their own home because they can't sell their apartment because it might be negative equity. They've had to rent a family home, maybe that would better cater to the needs of their growing family or the stage they're at in their life, but they've been treated like investors. So as in they're taxed on the full income that they earn from the, or you know, so they're essentially losing 52% of what they're making on their starter home flat that's a negative equity, while still having to pay very high rents, while not having the ability to save for their second mortgage. And you know, so I feel that actually people who maybe got caught in starter homes over the past 15 years would have, you know, the concept of a property ladder feels very risky to them. And I wonder, is this why more and more people are looking at these derelict and vacant homes and thinking, okay, there's a lot of work needed, but there's space around it. There's space for me
Exactly.
to grow, as opposed to if I go into a 3 bed or even a two and a half bed townhouse.
Like for example,
There's
a
no
three bedroom
space.
semi, I think a brand new three bedroom semi, I think is up to like 380,000 at the moment. That's crazy money. So yes, and you know what? I suppose for every property that's property cycles, right? I mean, my mum was telling me in the 80s, or was it 18% interest rates on properties? I mean, that was on mortgages, it was crazy. So now we're at what, 4 or 5%, 3%, whatever. And now they're thinking of fixing it and hopefully the rates will come down. I just think that you should not buy a house if you cannot. You've got to forecast your figures for at least 5 to 10 years. Can you afford to buy that house? And if anything, what has taught us with the boom is that we have to learn at that. We have to learn, what if there's a rainy day? What if the rates go up? What if the property goes down? Can we still maintain that mortgage? And this is why I say to the first time buyer, or whoever buys a house, buy it according to what you can afford to buy it for. And if you can do a bit of work yourself, or you can do a direct labor, or you can do maybe one room at a time, not do it all at the one time. I did that, you know, and it worked. So
I'm not even going to load on the generation of instant gratification. I think they get an awful hard time, but there is an element of cutting your cloth, and maybe something that might at some point have been a more acceptable. It was the approach to buying a home or starting something that you were going to be doing for the rest of your life. I mean, one thing I see with my own friends and my own friend circle, you know, once they hit about 12 to 13 years in the same home, they suddenly start to see their kitchen and their bathroom differently. And it's usually because they've had young children, those children are now growing up, and just the needs differ. So essentially, whatever home you go into, as you evolve, as your life and your family and your needs evolve, that home is going to have to evolve over time, irrespective of where it is. So I think that that's a big consideration. We're talking about, you know, the people who are in the marketplace maybe to buy, but it's those people need homes to be able to buy, and if they're not new homes, then they're going to be secondhand. But for those secondhand homes to come on the market, we need the sellers to know where they're going. So the people you're going into, in terms of who are asking you to value their homes at the moment, so the homeowners, and they're considering selling, but maybe nervous that they might not find the right property. What's the sentiment for the home buyer, or sorry, the home owners that you're going in and meeting, who are just thinking that they would like to trade up or trade down or move closer to a town or something, but you know, that's a really uncertain, it's a really
Okay.
uncertain place to be in at the moment.
Okay, so that for me is, I even say, is probably a 1 to 2 year journey cycle. So from the time that that person will pick up the phone, they have obviously been thinking about it for a couple of months previous. Now they've picked up the phone to ring Joanna to come down and see what the whole process entails. They're not going to sell their house unless they have a house to go to, and you can't expect them to. Why would they do that? But unfortunately, if somebody is looking to downsize or upsize, and they see a house that they like, some agents, due to because of the seller wants the buyer to be mortgage approved or a cash buyer, not be in a chain, it really sometimes that's just not fair, because I wouldn't want to sell my house unless I knew I had a house to go to, right? So generally, what happens is that Now, to be fair, most clients are very happy to do but to be in a chain, provided. And so if I go into a house and I see that, oh, that this house now, I'm going to sell it, no problem, it's going to be fly out the door within 2 or 3 weeks, and they have their interest in another house that I'm selling, I will be very honest with them and the buyer of the and the seller of the other house. Yeah, do you know what? I can sell their house. They've given you a good offer. Let's give it a month now, get it on the market and get an offer and see how we get on. And you know what? No pressure. I take the pressure from both of them, both
Yeah.
sellers. I'm taking all that stress away from them to get them into where they need to be. So it's showing a bit of compassion, a bit of realism, it's and the price has got to be right. There's so many different factors, but for me, the most important thing is that they do not feel stressed. They do not feel forced. It's a big decision. It's a lot to take in, no matter whatever buyer it is. It doesn't matter. So I just suppose it is a journey. And as I said, it's a 1 year, 2 year journey. And I've been on that journey with so many people. And I always say, you know what? You picked up the phone to me today and you're so nervous and you're dreading leaving your house. But I guarantee you, the minute you leave this house, you'll be running out the door to your new house and it's a new chapter in your life. So it's brilliant.
I that's a lovely approach, and I think that's a very fair way to approach it as well, for people, because acknowledging that while you do this every day as your day job, they don't, and
No.
actually there's a huge emotional as well as the logical side of it, and
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
always more difficult to navigate. Well, I suppose then, looking ahead, where do you see your pipeline of homes coming for over the next kind of year to 12 or a year to 18 months? Is there a pipeline of new homes now coming on stream? Are you expecting that to free up some of the second-hand homes? Are you expecting changes in terms of the grant structure for vacant and derelict homes? Now a proposal has been made that that payments could be made by way of stage payments, which would make it more accessible to
Absolutely.
people. So where do you see your pipeline coming over the next year to 18 months?
Okay, so I think that there's a lot of people moving around, and I think remote working has had a huge made a huge difference to people to be able to do that. So I would have a lot of people, first-time buyers are obviously, well, predominantly moving to the likes of Cove because we have a fantastic public transport system. So they can get the train, they can get the bus, they can move down here and buy a more affordable home than possibly in the city, right? They can go to Mallow, they can go to, I don't know, Kinsale is a bit out of reach, but and then people from a remote working can move to Kerry, they can move to West Cork, they can move anywhere, right? Once they can get to the city within reason. And then you have the people who are downsizing, who, unfortunately, obviously, people pass away and then houses come up for sales, and then those houses become available, be the derelict or be it smaller, and then people can move into that. So there's an array of buyers. I'm continuously seeing a flow of properties coming in, right? But obviously, I'm in a smaller demographics here in Cove, but I see it in the city too. Kinsale is a different kettle of fish. That's more the international buyer. Is there new developments coming on stream? Yes, there is. But we're going to have from, and this is where we probably talk more about this on Thursday. We have a huge infrastructural issue here in this country regarding new developments, and I'm talking from a water perspective, connection to Irish Water. I'm talking from a grid perspective, from a because as we become more electrified, we're going to need more electricity. We're going to need a better grid system. So, but infrastructure, and we're going to need better roads to get into these estates. And so there's just an array of things to be considered when new developments are going ahead, right? But I just think that every single person needs and deserves a home, be it a property they can buy or be it a property that they can rent. But at the moment, property, I feel some of the property is becoming unaffordable for people, and rents are sky high, which is really unfair. So, but then of course, then you have the investor who has the property and wants to make the money, and oh, so look, it's a bit of a vicious cycle. So.
Well, like, genuinely, everything that I'm seeing across non-institutional landlords, they are not making money out of the high rents. So I think that that's kind of maybe the first myth to kind of
Well,
put to one
they're making
side.
money if they don't have a mortgage, right?
52% taxation is ridiculous for something that is
100%.
not a passive income. It is very much a hands-on income. I don't know any landlord who would consider the income that comes from
That's
the
not what I
property to
meant.
be
But what I
passive.
meant is that I'm just saying that they've got high rents. But what I'm saying to you is that the landlord has to charge the high rents in order to cover their costs, which are extortionate when you're renting the property. That's, I suppose, the angle I was taking. And I mean, that's a whole other subject, the whole rental market, which is for me on its knees. If
Yeah.
you like, we're as a country encouraging companies to come into this country to work and invest here. I mean, the other day I had a phone call from a company. I have 70 employees, Joanna, coming in to Cork. Can you house 70 employees for me?
Yeah. And actually, the interesting one, the corporate lets, is one we're hearing from estate agents right across the country, irrespective of how rural it is. Only last week we spoke to Tommy Carmody in North Kerry, kind of on the North Kerry Limerick border. We had a similar conversation with Kevin Curran on the rural Galway to Mayo border. And they all have the same, they all kind of are experiencing the same situation. And just in terms of I think the rental market in Ireland is so broken that it is only going to get worse before it gets better. But one thing for sure is, these rent caps actually, at a time when inflation was running between 6 and 8% and landlords being capped at 2% never made sense. So we didn't encourage landlords to stay in the marketplace. And even the IMF in the last fortnightly visit that they had, and they flew over to Ireland, they reiterated what they reiterate every time they come over to Ireland, which is rent caps are making our rental situation worse. Every economic indicator tells us that. All of the data tells us that. And it is, I suppose, populist politics that keeps that in play. And to me, that's so insulting for the community, for citizens to think that they won't understand that actually, if we drive investors out of the market, if we drive the people who have the supply of homes out of the market, then we have less supply and therefore the cost is going to go up. To think that the average person on the street doesn't understand that, I think, is really condescending of our politicians. So I think our rental market is at the point where actually we need some really brave political action that is following the data, that's following good economic advice, that's actually, that's going to be unpopular for politicians perhaps, or difficult for them to explain, but actually worth the journey to get there, because it means that we might actually start building our way towards a functioning rental market. But we won't do that without an amount of political bravery, and it's difficult to see that happening
Well,
in
there just has
a
to be
political
incentives.
cycle we're in.
Yeah, but there just has to be incentives for the investor to come into the market. So therefore, we can get, like, the investors are not there now. You have very few investors buying rental property to rent out because it's of no one, it's no incentive for them to do that, right? Unless they get it for half nothing, which doesn't happen, right? So therefore, what we need to do, we have to incentivize the investor to buy the properties. So therefore, there's a rental supply there. Because, as I said, we have an array of people who, some people want to buy a house, some people are happy to rent a house. Then we have people coming into this country who need to rent a house because they're working for a company and they might only be here for 3 years. And why would they buy a, but why would they buy a property? The rent capping system is antiquated. It needs to be sorted. Our rental system is broken. If I put a property up for rent on Daft, I can promise you I will have at least 1,000 emails within 24 to 48 hours. So, which is ridiculous. And everyone has a story,
Do you
Carol.
know?
Everyone has a story, and it's hard to choose, who's the right
Do you
person.
know? You talk about incentivizing landlords. I mean, we were talking about that maybe 5, 6 years ago. At this point, I think a good start would be to stop disincentivizing landlords, stop disincentivizing the people who are trying to solve the problem at the moment. But look, I fully appreciate that's kind of part of the larger conversation for another day. But look, one of the things that I'm really excited to talk to you about at the National Construction Summit in Blanchardstown on Thursday is you do something that we advocate for here on the show all the time, and that is in an era of digitalization where estate agents can feel, in some cases with the rise of prop tech, we have seeing people feel somewhat threatened or somewhat trying to understand where their value sits. And to me, the value of an estate agent, particularly an independent estate agent across the regions, is advocating for their place. And you touched on it in the first few minutes of our interview here about how important it is that, it's not just that you're doing walkthrough properties of the videos you're selling, you're actually showcasing the towns, the communities in which you're selling as well. And to me, that's become a bit of a lost art across estate agents. So how important is that aspect for you?
Well, the first thing I always think anyway is it's always nice to give back, right? That's the first thing. And I've been an estate agent for on my own for the over 20 years, but in the business 30 years, and I've learned an awful lot that it's all very well to get a house for sale, But you got to sell where that house is. Where is that location? And that's why, as I said to you, when I first started embracing all the social media and I did a tour of Cove, I saw like 60,000 views within the space of a week, right? Because people said, I didn't realize there was six schools in Cove and soccer stadium and a rugby and sailing and what's going on. And I kind of said, you know what? I have something here. So I then started working on that. So everywhere I sell a house, I'm walk could be walking down the town, like Kinsale, I could be in Cork City. And then every post I put up, you know, Cove is popular because we have a really good public transport system, a train, we have a bus service, and then we have the cruise season start from a tourism perspective. These are all the different restaurants you can go to. And then as a result of me embracing all that is when then 4 years ago I got involved in Cove and Harbour Chamber. I'd always been involved in the sailing clubs at Cove and, you know, did all that and loved it. And then I went into Cove and Harbour Chamber, which is all business related. And I got to see then, you know, I can actually make a real change here. I have access now to make a change. And I think I was always bursting to do it, but I was very shy to do it and I didn't know how to go about it. And to be fair, all I had to do was ask for help and people were so helpful and people jumped on board with me and we all worked together. And whilst I was president for the 2.5 years, I learned so much and I was able to deliver so much. And that's where I took on and embraced the whole renewable energy sector within our harbour. I saw that, as I mentioned to you before, like the pharmaceutical industry came to the harbour in the 80s, was it 90s, I can't remember. And it was so scary for the community. They didn't understand, is this going to affect our harbour? You know, are we going to be polluted out of it? Is there going to be too much industry? My word, did it change how the harbour looked? We have better schools, more houses. Everywhere had to eat, sleep, and drink somewhere. We had better roads. Employment was massive. And then, so I looked at then the whole renewable energy sector and said, hang on a second. This is just exactly what happened in the 80s. It's going to happen here now, but it's on a bigger scale, right? So that's then, I suppose, my whole mantra for when I was president, that I really embarked on that. And I said, guys, we have a massive opportunity here. Cork Harbour has always been an energy hub. Now we have all the key components in place. And by that, what I mean is that we have the Port of Cork, we have Doyle Shipping, which was the boatyard, the shipping yard here in Cove. We have the Nautical Mar the National Maritime College of Ireland. We have the oil refinery, all of them, right? Who are all looking to progress through to renewable energy. So if you were to go to another harbour or another town or another port that don't have part of this built out already, you've got to start from scratch. Whereas now we can build out what we have and start. And this is, and when, and people saying, well, you know, Joanna, how is this going to benefit us? I said, guys, it's like this. Energy security, by us producing our own energy in this country, we are in control of our own energy, our pricing, the community enhancement will be marvelous. Again, we'll see more schools, more houses, better infrastructure. But the best thing of ever is employment. Our own people who have had to leave this country to get a job in that sector can now come home with a wealth of experience that we can now embrace. We have our kids coming up the tracks who can go into the Maritime College to be upskilled. We have our Navy who have an expertise and wealth of expertise within the maritime sector can now go to the Maritime College and be upskilled as well. So it's phenomenal. And we're going to need administration, you're going to need offices. And when I look at it and I look at the harbour with all the different communities around the harbour, well, there's going to have to be offices for the people. There's going to be houses that they're going to have to live in. They're going to have to eat somewhere. They're going to have to shop somewhere. And this then might open up the whole harbour to connect. You know what I mean? That you have all the different villages that they can connect now. So yeah, and you know, I suppose from because I'm big into sailing and I love all the recreational side and leisure side of the maritime world, there has to be a happy medium. There has to be a happy medium between commercialism and leisure, which there will be, right? And you see it in a lot of ports and a lot of countries, right? So we can do the same here, and we have been managing that quite successfully for decades now. So I'm quite convinced with the right people involved and, you know, relaying that information on a layperson term that they understand the terminology is really key to it, big time.
Look, it goes beyond understanding the terminology. It's understanding the opportunities, as you very rightly pointed out, the fact that Every new job created is somewhere that somebody's going to have to live. There's somebody who is going to have to go to a restaurant to eat, somebody who may have children that want to support a local school. So it's the ability to join up the dots. But for me, it goes even to the heart of, to my mind, what an estate agent or an auctioneer is, which is an expert on their local place. Properties, individual properties come and go. Their trends, buyer trends, buyer expectations evolve, but the place is where is kind of the seat of the expertise. And to me, that's what estate agents and auctioneers were decades ago. And that's we'd love to see them almost reclaim that now, because so much of the process of buying and selling a home can be done digitally. And while there's a huge human element as well to focus on the emotional side and the non-logical side of the buying and selling decisions, the reality is it does come back to place. So if we can not just help tell people about the place, but you're going a step deeper and actually helping to shape the place, I think that's really influential.
Yeah,
So
but I want to, like, you want to. Someone said to me, like, Cove, they become more cosmopolitan because you have more people moving to the country now. Like, I was walking downtown the other day in Cork City, and the amount of nationalities that I was listening to was phenomenal, which
yeah.
means that we're doing something right. And
Yes.
I always think that if your town looks good and if you're helping to make it be better all the time, right, I have a better ha chance of selling a house down here and getting people down to Cove. 100%. And that for me is so important that I sell Cove. I love Cove. I love Cork. I love Kinsale, that I can sell it. And you know what? I was actually saying to just before I move on, just even the type of buyer. Over the last 5 or 6 weeks, I have sold to four American families
Yeah.
coming to Ireland,
Are they relocating?
relocating. And I said, why are you relocating? Why are you coming here? I'm always
Yeah,
interested to know
yeah.
why are they moving here, right? And number one, it's from a job perspective. Number two, our quality and way of life.
Yeah.
We have a great way of life in this country.
Yeah.
And I suppose we're actually very well situated in Europe too, because we can go anywhere, which is really good I suppose, working remotely and being able to fly over to the UK or,
Yeah.
over to the States or whatever. So it just is very accessible. And there was another couple that just recently bought a house off me, retirees, and they were so nice. And they just said, Joanna, we see Cove on social media and we just want to be here. It's amazing. And it's like, when
Do you
I
know
hear
what I
that, of
do?
course.
I do feel that you're operating at a geographical advantage there from Cork or from Cove as well. We have to acknowledge that,
I know,
you
I know.
definitely are in
Yeah.
what wasn't Cove voted Ireland's most Instagrammable town. So you
Possibly,
definitely
possibly, but yeah, you know what? It's just, look, you just kind of think outside the box all the time.
absolutely. Johanna, I absolutely love your passion for place and your passion for property. And I think you bring those together. And I love that you're doing it in a way that's actually influencing the shape of the town and the opportunities that can come out of that. And I'm really excited to sit down with you on Thursday at the National Construction Summit. We'll be on the main stage Thursday morning. So anybody who's attending the National Construction Summit and is really interested in getting some in-depth knowledge about kind of the pipeline of the market right across the regions in Cork, but there's a whole host of other activities and discussions there. So please join us at the National Construction Summit in Blanchardstown on Thursday. And Johanna, I look forward to speaking to
Thank you
you
so much. Looking
in
forward to it.
person, in person on
Absolutely.
Thursday. That was
Absolutely. Thank you.
no problem at all. My pleasure. That was Johanna Murphy, estate agent with Johanna Murphy and Sons, down in Cove. My thanks as always to producer Katie Tallon and to the production team at Hear Me Roar Media. Also, huge thanks to our show sponsor, daft.ie, Ireland's most visitor property website. And thank you indeed for tuning in. We'll catch you on the next episode of the Property Roundup. In the meantime, please be sure to check out all of the other Irish and international real estate and construction shows here on iPropertyRadio.com.